ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
With all the social media and all the stuff that's out there today, there is a wealth of false information out there. Stick to the Word of God. Now, the sheepfold is not the church. I know some like to see it that way, because Jesus is going to lead the sheep out of the sheepfold. It doesn't lead us out of the church. It doesn't make sense. Some say it's heaven, but it's not leading us out of heaven either, so that doesn't really fit. Think about it. John chapter 9, what was said there about the false shepherds, and here in John chapter 10. In John chapter 9, the man who was born blind that Jesus healed, who kicked him out of the synagogue? Oh, the Jewish religious leaders, right? He was rejected by the false religious leaders, the false shepherds. They put him out of their sheepfold, or the sheepfold, you might say, really, of Judaism, because they made it into something that God never intended it to be. All the rules and regulations that kept them from worshiping God. So here is this lost sheep, this man who was born blind, who now sees, kicked out of the synagogue, and who comes to him? Jesus does. The good shepherd comes, finds him, and makes him part of his sheepfold. That means that the sheepfold is Judaism and what they made it into. And who are the thieves and the robbers? I think they're the false teachers, the false prophets, even the false messiahs who had come and gone throughout the years. That's what Jeremiah warns us of. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, this false religious system. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Think about it. Every street corner in the southern kingdom of Judah, where the temple was located, had idols in it. False gods, every single one. And judgment was coming, and they were going into captivity about it. And we see today the same garbage that has come into the church, where there are teachers and churches that deny the blood atonement. They deny Jesus as God. And they're false shepherds, leading people away from God. They're scattering them. And if a pastor is not feeding his flock the word of God, he's not doing what he was primarily called to do. Think about it, as a kid or an adult, it's not eating healthy, taking care of himself, well-nourished. They become very sick, susceptible to disease. And what I see the disease is the false doctrines, the winds of doctrine that blow through the church. Do you think that we're protected from false doctrine from blowing through this church? Are you kidding me? I've seen it over the years. The thing is, I have an immune system that can fight the false doctrine, this false teaching. And it's called the Word of God opened up to me by the Spirit of God. It shows me. It protects me from the dangers that are out there. Again, so important. But if you're not fed well, you're open to all kinds of things. We have to feed people with the truths of God that are found in the Word of God. So when the lies of the devil are spoken, they're just exposed as counterfeit very easily. Now, you can look through the Old Testament. You'll see throughout the years, throughout their history, they were plagued with false teachers, false prophets. Again, it led them into all kinds of idolatry and immorality. We look at where the church is at today, it's easy to get discouraged. You know, we could become like Elijah. Oh, Lord, we alone only love you. There's nobody else. And what did God say to Elijah? I have 7,000 in Israel who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Hey, there, I've got my faithful remnant. Never lose sight of that. God always has his remnant of believers. What we see here in John chapter 10, here's the shepherd coming back, and it's Jesus, and he's calling out to sheep from the sheepfold of Judaism, and they're coming and following their shepherd. They didn't listen to the thieves and robbers who were trying to steal their faith away and lead them away from God. Follow Jesus. In fact, in John 10:8, it says, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Praise God for that. Are we listening to the voice of Jesus? One writer said, "Israel's true shepherd had now come to the door of the sheepfold of Israel to call his sheep out of the restrictive, legalistic walls of Judaism into the green pastures of Christianity." Absolutely. Another writer said, "God has his true sheep in the sheepfold of Judaism, and Jesus as the good shepherd. The Messiah had come to lead them out of Judaism into a new covenant relationship with God, into a new sheepfold called Christianity through him. Over the centuries, many false messiahs and prophets had climbed the walls and carried off many sheep, but those shepherds were thieves and robbers, and the sheep only listened to them because they weren't God's sheep and proved it by following these false shepherds." Absolutely. God never intended Judaism to go down the path that it did. The religious leaders had taken it down a wrong path. And here comes Jesus to get them back in line. You could read in Jeremiah where God talks about a new covenant that he's going to establish with Israel. Not on tablets of stone, but he's going to write those things upon our hearts. He's going to give us a new heart. And that's what he came to do. But they had moved so far away from God that they didn't want to have anything to do with the Messiah, with Jesus. They only wanted to focus on their religious traditions, which again had them in bondage. Now, within this sheepfold, where the shepherd comes, there's lots of different sheep, right? From different groups, different shepherds. You might call them believers and unbelievers within this sheepfold. And here comes Jesus, and he calls them, and who follows him? His sheep. Who's the doorkeeper then? We always think of Jesus being the doorkeeper. Maybe the doorkeeper is none other than John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way for the Messiah. He's watching over the sheep of Israel until who? The Messiah comes. He said, "I must decrease so he may increase. I'm watching these sheep." And now when the shepherd comes, he passes off the scene and the sheep follow their shepherd. Again, very Jewish territory. You think, well, what about us, Gentiles? What happens with us? Did he leave us out? Well, no, obviously not. Can I prove it? Yeah. In John 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and I will hear, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." That's an amazing statement by Jesus. Jesus saying, "There's another flock out there. They're going to come to me. They're not of this flock of Judaism. They're not Jews." Well, what's the other group? Gentiles. And what does he says? They're all going to become one. Wasn't that what Paul said in Ephesians? That he's taken Jews, Gentiles, and brought them together in the body of Christ and made them one. One body, not separate. That's amazing to me. And it warms my heart to see the love that God has for us and for all people. So we enter through Jesus. He's our shepherd. We follow him. Next, we're going to look at the point of follow Jesus. Look at verse 4 here in John chapter 10. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." That is so awesome. I have seen this abused several times with spiritual leaders, shepherds you might say, who are trying to drive the sheep. What animal is driven? Cattle. There's cattle drives. Go watch the old westerns, right? The Virginian, I love that. They do a lot of cattle drives. You don't drive sheep. What do? You lead sheep. They follow their shepherd. They're never pushed, they're led. And I know, being the under-shepherd here at Calvary, people sometimes get upset, you know, why am I doing everything, you know? And here's the reason. Sometimes when I ask people to do things, they feel pressured. And they get upset, or they do it because, oh man, the pastor asked me, I have to do it. No. And so this is kind of the way I do things here. I lead by example. People watch what I do. And a lot of times they'll say, hey, you know, can I do that? I can help out. Hey, praise God, go for it. You see, I don't want people feeling pressured to serve, because then it's never good. But when you feel, hey, this is something that I can do, and I feel God's calling me here, I'm going to take that step of faith. And that's such a blessing. To be able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I am humbled that God allows me to do that. I mean, to be his representative, to teach his word, and I realize there is a tremendous responsibility attached to that. Sometimes people take that way too lightly. I am more accountable to God for what I'm doing because I am teaching you the things of God. And if I misrepresent him, I'm responsible. I'm accountable. Now, when we were in Israel several years ago, you see shepherds out in the fields, and they're just walking. And they've got their little staff, and they're just walking down the road. And you know what? Here's this stream of sheep just following them. It's the craziest thing. You would think one of them would go, do-do-do-do. And maybe they do wander off sometimes, but the shepherd has to go, hey, guy, get back in here, right? But they just follow their shepherd. And Jesus, the good shepherd, he doesn't drive us. Like I said, he leads us. He goes first through the valley of the shadow of death, right? And then we follow after him. We don't go anywhere he hasn't been because he's the shepherd leading us. I am thankful for that because I know my shepherd has what's best for me. Now, I have to admit, there have been times I'm like, really? I would have never done it that way. Why? Because I want the easy way out. I don't want conflict. I don't want confrontation. I don't want trouble. I want it the easy way. But again, if it's all easy, why do I have to trust Jesus? I don't. I mean, like Brian shared, all the things that happened to him, right, this past week, you go, man, it's so much. But it causes us to lean on our shepherd, upon Jesus, to get the strength, the comfort, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And again, when the shepherd calls, his sheep come and follow him. They recognize the voice. And I like the fact that he knows them by name. You know, it's not like Jesus goes, now, what was your name? Was it Joe? Was that your name? You need to follow him. No, he knows my name. In fact, God created the quadrillion of stars. You can't even count them, that are out there. He not only created them, he knows everyone by name. Doesn't that blow your mind? When you think about that, well, that's insignificant. Yeah, well, he knows number of hairs on your head. That's insignificant. Why does he even care? Because he loves us that much. He knows us that intimately. He knows what we need to go through in life. And so we need to follow our good shepherd. It's interesting, you know, with children, they know the voice of their parents, right? They follow them. And if a child is lost, what do? You call out to them. They know your voice. They can tell. My wife always says, she could be anywhere and not be able to see me and hear me laugh, and she knows it's me. Because I guess she does know my voice. We've been together a long time, right? 43 years. Wow. I love that about our Lord. He not only calls us, but he calls us by name. And we follow him. I like that. Hebrews 4:15, Paul said, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." That's our Lord. And he is the good shepherd. He's not a hireling. When trouble comes, he runs away. He's always there. And he's leading us. He's guiding us. We need to stick to the word of God because Jesus is the word. And again, you start bringing the philosophies of this world into the church, you're going to weaken it. You're not going to make it stronger. And as sheep, when Jesus calls, we need to follow. You know, way back during World War I, there were some Turkish soldiers that tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. And the shepherd who had been sleeping awoke to find his flock being driven off. And he obviously couldn't recapture them by force. These were Turkish soldiers. So what do you think he did? He called out to his flock with his distinctive call. And you know what happened? The sheep turned around and went to their shepherd, to the rightful owner. And the soldiers, no matter what they did, couldn't stop them. Now that must have been hilarious, right? We need to heed the call from our shepherd, Jesus Christ, and follow him, follow Jesus. Again, these Jewish religious leaders, these Pharisees are listening to this, and now we're going to see their confusion. Look at verse 6 here in John 10. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. How sad. they couldn't get it. Well, it's not that they couldn't get it. They refused to see it. They refused to hear it. These were the people who were supposed to be leading the children of Israel in the things of God, and they didn't even get the things of God. Why couldn't they? Well, remember what Jesus said in John 9, verse 41. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. See, they were blind to the things of God because they were focused on, we're holy men of God, and they didn't realize they were sinners. They were deaf. They couldn't hear the things of God any longer. In fact, John chapter 8, we're told, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You see, it's a choice. Do people want to hear? Do they want to see these things? Or are they going to reject it? In Psalm 119, verse 130, we're told, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Again, you don't have to be a theologian to understand the Bible. You read it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and show you these things. Look at this world today. I don't know, for me as a Christian, I know there are Christians that are kind of nervous and fearful and stuff, but for me, I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is just what God said. I'm not surprised by these things. I'm astonished. I'm like, wow, we're living in the days that the prophets spoke about. Now, is the Lord coming back today? Maybe. Is he coming back in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Maybe. I don't know the day, but I know we're getting close. And it's very exciting to me. Why do we as Christians think we can gain wisdom or truth from other sources than the scriptures? Because our culture, our many churches have convinced us that the Bible is just a book of stories, and it really doesn't matter. There's just illustrations to make a point. Absolutely not. Think about it. You have a question about life. Who do you go to? Oprah? I don't know. Does she even have a show anymore? I don't know. Dr. Phil? No, he's not on. Dr. Oz? No. Do you watch the news? No, you look at the Bible. Because if it's something we need to know about life, it's going to be found in there. And if you are confused about what's going on in your Christian life, get back to reading and allowing the Holy Spirit to open up the Word of God to your life, because He'll guide you. Spend time with God. You know, I think because we're so smart, we negate what the Bible has to say. We think we're so smart. Smarter than God is what we're basically saying. Oh, well, you know, the story in Genesis chapter 1, you know, it's just a story. It never really happened. It's just evolution and all this, blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you what, when Darwin and his theory of evolution came to the forefront, many churches surrendered their belief of Genesis to evolution. Why? Because they believed what man said over what God said. Now, here we are, you know, what, over 100 years since the theory came into effect, and now we look at things and we go, wow, that simple cell is not a simple cell anymore. Look at the complexity of life. Irreducible complexity, meaning that a heart can't be there without blood vessels and blood and lungs to get oxygen in the blood and to get carbon dioxide out. And then you need platelets in case you get a cut. And then you need white blood cells for infections to ward off infection. It's so complex. And even Darwin, in his book on evolution, stated that if once we know more about the human eye, the complexity of it, his theory goes out the window. Absolutely. You know, we see upside down and the brain turns it right side up. It's kind of incredible how the eye works. And how did we get two? Why don't we have one in front and one in the back? I could have used one in the back, you know? Why? Because God created us this way. You see, don't negate what God has done. Don't negate what the scriptures say. You know, sometimes science will say, oh, look, we found this, and it proves this. And I'm just like, give it a little time. Don't jump on it so fast. You know, it wasn't that long ago that they found in dinosaur bones living or cells that are alive that you could reproduce. How do you do that? Because these are supposed to be millions of years old. There shouldn't be anything left. Fossilized bone, that's it. How do you find these things? Because they're not that old. You see, you just wait. Oh, we found the missing link, Archaeopteryx. And then they find out, oh, no, that's not a missing link. But how many people do they tell? And still in some school science books, they have the transition of embryos, you know, from frogs and different things, showing how, look, this is how the humans evolved. And it's a fraud, and it was known it was a fraud for years and years and years it was proven. But they still have it in there. Why? Because it convinces kids in evolution. Believe what the Bible says, guys. God is not going to lead you astray. You know, when the Bible says Jonah survived 3 days and three nights in the belly of a giant fish, did it really happen? Absolutely. How do I know? Jesus told me. Just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the Son of Man is going to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. So either Jesus didn't know the true story of Jonah, that it really didn't happen, or he did know. Obviously he knew. Was there a great flood? Absolutely. It was just in Arizona. I saw the evidence for the flood in the rock formations. You see these layers that are laid down. Did David really kill Goliath? Yeah. I was in that valley. I got to teach the story of David and Goliath in that valley with mountains on either side where the Philistines were, where the children of Israel were, and there in the middle, the little stream that went through, David picked up the rocks, got the giant. And over again, we see these things in the scriptures. And I guess if you don't want to believe that there is a God, yeah, then these stories are hard to believe. But God has shown us very clearly who he is. One of the best ways is prophecy. He's told us things that are going to happen long before they do. Cyrus and his invasion of the Medo-Persian Empire? I hope I don't get that messed up. I think it was the Babylonian Empire. He was part of the Medo-Persian. And God called Cyrus by name in Isaiah 100 years before he was born. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, I trust the scriptures wholeheartedly. And here's the thing. The Bible is so easy to understand that a child can understand the gospel message. There are some pastors that have no idea what the gospel message is, but a child can understand it because it's that simple. And yet, the smartest minds in the world can spend the rest of their life studying the Bible and only scratch the surface. That's how deep it is. That's how rich it is. So the problem is not that these Jewish religious leaders couldn't understand all that Jesus was saying. They didn't want to understand what Jesus was saying. And Jesus is going to give them another illustration as we read on, a different point of view, you might say, another sheepfold in a different area. And in the end, it's all about life and death. Look at verse 7 here in John 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, this is a little different. It's almost confusing. First, we're told that Jesus is the shepherd leading the sheep, and now we're told he's the door. So what is it? Well, he's both. And again, we miss the point because we're not shepherds living in this period of time in Jerusalem. Again, during the spring, when there was a lot of grass near the cities, they were close to town, these sheepfolds. But now they're moving farther out. They're away from the city. They no longer go back to the city at night to sleep and have a doorkeeper there. They become that doorkeeper, and they sleep out in the fields. And here it's just a low-walled corral made of stone, has a narrow opening in the front. So it's another sheepfold. The shepherd now would be sleeping at the door. Not a professional gatekeeper, not someone who's watching multiple flocks. This sheepfold is for only the sheep, for this shepherd. What's important here is Jesus doesn't say, I am a door. He doesn't say, I am one of many doors. What does he say? I am the door. There is no other door. I know people like to say that. Oh, just believe in whatever you want, as long as you're sincere at it. Guys, since 1985, I've been very sincere that the Bears were going to win another Super Bowl.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.